be speaking in English tonight, but again, it's simple English, and also I'll be saying some words that I think maybe you don't know, and some words that I don't know, I'll be saying them with you. The name of the talk this evening is, I borrowed the name from a book by Virginia Woolf called To the Lighthouse, El Hamigdalor. And the subject is, what's important to us in our lives? Just last week I came back from India, and as in India, many of you probably, how many have been to India? Wow, quite many. So, you know, and the rest of you, go. the conditions in India are not so comfortable, to say the least. I thought it's going to be warm, and it actually was cold, and I didn't bring anything warm enough. And it's uncomfortable. Of course, not very hygienic. I was traveling with my partner. It was her first time in India. And we got to the guest house in Delhi, in this lovely street called the Main Bazaar. And when we got to the guest house, and there was a blanket on the bed, and she said, "En matzav shani nogad basmicha hazot." No way I'm touching this blanket. So we went down to the street and we were looking for another blanket, and we found something that looked like warm and nice blanket, and took it to the house, to the room, and opened it, and it was reeking of gasoline, this srech mineft. And there we were, stuck with a blanket that maybe clean, maybe not. Maybe it was used many times and then wrapped again in a plastic bag and smelled of neft. And of course there are mosquitoes and the stomach things, you know, vomiting and diarrhea. And of course there are the beggars who constantly run after you. You know, mothers with their children in their arms. Money, money, food, food. So it's really an experience of being out of control. Really, it's there's no heat. You know, we cannot turn the air condition and have heat. And there's no hot water. You probably know the experience. You come to a guest house and you tell them there's running water. Yes, 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 running water. Hot water? Yes, 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 hot water. Now? There's no hot water now? No. Fixing, you know? Fixing. It's everything in India, it's always fixing. Now fixing. And now, you know, the India now, it's everlasting now. So what is it that makes so many of us, and what is it that makes me suggest to you all to go to India, to put ourselves in a situation that is so out of control? In his book, Viktor Frankl quotes Nietzsche, who said, when we have a why, or when we have a strong enough why, we can stand any what, or we can take any what. And actually also here in this retreat, we also kind of similar situation to India in a way. You know, we left very comfortable, a lot more comfortable houses than what we have here. I'm sure most of you don't share your bedroom with complete strangers. And at home we can eat whenever we want, and we can cook for ourselves whatever we like to cook. And we can turn on and off the air conditioner whenever we can. Open a window, close a window, and nobody tells us, no, don't touch that green button over there. And so why put ourselves in this situation, in this condition. And we have here food that is very, to most of us, very unfamiliar. We have a very strange schedule. You know, this 6 o'clock getting up, going to bed at 9, and all this alternating, now do this, now do that, now eat, now rest, now sit, now walk, now stand. There's no much freedom to do what we would like to do whenever we like to do it. So why put ourselves in this situation of out of control? And how can we find freedom in a place where it seems we have less freedom than usual? And again, it brings us back to, if there is a strong enough why, or if there is a clear enough why, then we can take any why, any what. We can take the food, we can take the discomfort. So what is our why? Each one of us may have a different why of being here. What is most important to us? What is most precious? What we hold most precious in our lives? Is it our body? Our health? Is it our feelings? Is it our thoughts? Our families? And what's important to us beyond our families, beyond our children and or our partners? I'd like us to take a few moments and think of three things that are the most important to you in life. What are the three most important things in your life today? I heard some time ago someone said that if we are to think of the three most important things in our lives and we actually think of more than one, we are in trouble. So of the three that perhaps came to mind, which one is the most important? Which one is, we can call our lighthouse, amigdalo, our lighthouse? For some of us, it may be a spiritual development. To some of us, may be developing in wisdom and compassion. Some of us maybe want to meet ourselves in a real way, finding who is it in here, inside. Who or what am I? What is this I call I, that seems the closest thing to me, and yet so unknown? Maybe for some of us it's what Shaila spoke of the other day, realizing the cause of suffering for ourselves and others, and bringing an end to suffering. Maybe most important to us is to cling less in our lives. Perhaps it is finding freedom in the midst of our busy life. Sometimes I think many of us feel that our lives is very, very loaded and very busy, and it's hard to find moments of quietude or connecting inside, and that our lives are full of obligations and fulfilling needs, our own and others, and commitments, and the race of making a living, and the survival race, So how can we get closer inside to a place that is quiet but very alive, very real, more real than all the other things? Sometimes it even seems that our activities and our busyness are in a way of getting quiet, of connecting with something that is beyond our busyness, beyond our activities. It seems there is something almost compulsive about our activities, like as if we can't stop, even when we want to meditate. It seems perhaps we are even almost addicted to being busy, to doing. We can check and look for ourselves and investigate our own experience. What's behind this inability to stop? What's behind this crazy busyness, constant busyness? I think if we look closely, we will discover that underneath all these activities, there's this sense of I and mine. The I and mine are in the center of all our activities, and that behind all our activities is this sense of I, the sense of doership. The I and mine, my needs, my wants, my opinions, my fears, as the point of reference, as a constant and steady point of reference, is this I and mine. Ahamkara is the word in Sanskrit. Ahamkara is the doing I, the I that takes ownership of what gets done, of what's being done. My teacher, Ajay Singh, says, satisfaction brought about by the ego, the I, is short-lived and is not very satisfying. He says, there are two categories of wants, of desires. The desire for pleasure and the desire to be free. The desire for pleasure will bring us suffering. The desire for liberation will bring liberation. Punjaji, the teacher the Chaila quotes, and that was her teacher, he also said, millions of wants make up the I. מיליוני רצונות מרכיבים את האני. The mind and the eye are the same thing. When there are no wants in the mind, there is no mind. So what's important to us beyond the wants of the mind? Beyond what we think our needs. We are here for such a short time. We're not here for a long time, not only in this retreat, but also in this life. There's a story about a famous rabbi who was living in Europe, and someone from the States came to see him, wanted to visit him, and so he came to his house, and the guest was directed upstairs to the attic, to the Aliyat Gad, where the rabbi was living. And then when he walked in, he saw a room with a bed, a chair, and some books. So he was very surprised, and he asked the rabbi, he said, Rabbi, where are your things? So the rabbi answered with a question, you know, the very Jewish way to answer a question with a question. And the rabbi said, well, where are yours? Where are your things? And the visitor said, but Rabbi, I'm just a bypasser. I'm like over Oach. And to that the rabbi replied, so am I. So am I. Yesterday, Shaila spoke of the inevitability of death. The death is inevitable. She'amavet hu bilti nimna. And we just don't know when it will happen, but we know it will happen. And we kind of know that, right? Of course we know we're going to die. Of course we know we're not going to live forever. And of course we know that it will happen someday, but it seems we all kind of live as if this day is very in a very distant future. And our lives and the way we live our lives is as if our death is in a very distant future. But in reality, we don't know. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen today. It can happen at the end of this talk. There's a story that Christopher Titmus, who's a very dear teacher, and I guess we can title him the spiritual father of Tovana. He tells of a retreat he was teaching in India, and they were sitting outside under a big tent and having a retreat, very similar to what we're doing here, and they're all sitting in meditation, and he was sitting up front, and then at some point he opened his eyes and looked at the yogis, and he saw a cobra snake standing in front of one of the people right at the first row. Imagine that. So Christopher kind of leaned to his assistant and said, "Is this snake poisonous? Is it dangerous?" Now the assistant, he didn't want to cause alarm, but he didn't want to lie. He was under the vow of the five precepts. So he said, "A bit." We don't know. Maybe when we sit here with our eyes closed, a cobra is standing in front of our eyes. And we cannot know. How will it affect our meditation if we knew there's this cobra standing in front of us? Well, that story ended with a good ending, with a happy end. The cobra went away. And perhaps this person didn't even know that there was a cobra in front of him. But how would we live if we thought of each day as our last? What would be different in our lives? What would we do differently? Perhaps we would tell someone that we love them. Maybe we would leave work an hour earlier to go see the sunset. To some of us, it's 4 hours earlier to see the sunset. Perhaps we would call our mother and say to her, "Thank you for giving me life." Maybe we would give the 10 shekels to the beggar at our window. Or maybe we would forgive someone who hurt us. Maybe we would dance. Maybe we would sing. Maybe we would go and hug someone we care about. Perhaps we would do less and relax more. Perhaps we will let go of some shoulds and we do just what's most important to us. You know, quite a few months, maybe last year, I took my Yoman, my appointment book, and took a red marker and made a big X on one day in the middle of the week. And that day is, from then on, is a retreat day. And it doesn't have to be a retreat It can be. Sometimes it is of like a formal practice of sitting, walking, etc. But sometimes it's just sitting on the porch, watching the clouds with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, watching the cats playing, very funny creatures, looking at the chartio and the pragin growing, changing, the season changing. And every once in a while the mind comes in and says, oh, there are all these things to do, all these shoots, and all these emails to answer, and phone calls to return, and all the things, and there's always laundry, and washing dishes, etc. And it, just like here, okay, it's a thought. It passes by, and I stay put. Can we do something like that in our lives? What do we have to give up? What do we need to let go of in order to reduce some of our activities, some of our attachments and even addictions to activities, to being busy? What happens? Do we feel perhaps some emptiness? Is there boredom? Perhaps not even knowing who I am if I'm not doing something. Who am I if I'm not doing? If I'm not productive, if I'm not contributing, maybe I'm useless. It's worth finding out. And what would we do differently if we knew that this seat is our last seat? How would you sit differently? Or would you sit differently? If we sat and said to ourselves, okay, this is the last seat I will ever sit, what would that seat be like? You know, when I leave my house, like to come to this retreat, or when I go for one day in Tel Aviv, I always wash the dishes, and make up the bed and tidy the house and stability to abide, because I never know if I return. And so I want for the person who may return instead of me to find a nice and comfortable, lovely atmosphere in the house. The Buddha said to Mara in conversation, Mara is the demon, the evil forces that try to tempt the Buddha away from practice. And it's also, we can say, in a derech hamashal, all the forces that come to us in our practice and try to tempt us away from practice, there's always something better to do, nicer to do, other than sit and practice. So Mara said to Buddha, life is short. You should live like a baby sucking milk. To this the Buddha replied, I'm sorry, I misquoted it. Mara said, life is long. You should live like a baby sucking milk. And the Buddha answers, life is short. You should live as if your head is on fire. But this realization that life is short, it doesn't have to be gloomy. For some people, actually, this realization is actually freeing, quite freeing. Because when it becomes clear what's important in our lives, it also becomes clear what is not. And it's almost like if we take a trip around the world, if we don't know where we're going, and we just say, oh, we're just going to go around the world, we're just going to go anywhere. Excuse me. We have to take clothes that are also for warm weather, so like summer clothes, and we have to take clothes for winter weather, and we have to take sweaters and coats, etc. And we have to take gear and equipment for camping, so we have to take a sleeping bag and a tent and a rolling mattress and hiking boots in case we encounter that kind of a trip. And then we also have to take fancy clothes in case we go to fancy hotels and fancy restaurants. And we have to take bathing suits and equipment for the beach. And then we have to take equipment for mountain climbing. And it's kind of quite a baggage. Can get quite heavy. But if we focus, if we are focused and we know where we're going, if we have a lighthouse with the law, it becomes very obvious that of what we need to take and what we can leave behind, what can stay at home, and that we won't be needing this. So what are the things that we can leave behind once we know what's important to us? Perhaps we can care less what other people's opinions about us. Or perhaps our need to please people, we can let that one go. Or maybe living by society's norms. If what's important to us is different than that. Maybe satisfying our parents, you know, making our mother happy. This is the most important thing in our life, making our mothers happy. So finding what's important to us and living by it can actually be a great relief. I remember in my early 20s, I left Israel, went to the States, and I didn't quite know what I was looking for. And so I kind of moved around and was living in Florida and LA and New York, and went for a few months to South America. And after quite a few years, it kind of started to be more and more clear, until it became crystal clear at that time of my life. What was important to me was to live in a spiritual community, to live a spiritual life completely, not to dedicate 1 hour a day to it, but to be immersed in the spiritual life. And it didn't quite matter to me if it's a Buddhist spirituality or shamanistic or Hinduistic or Sufi or Jewish. I just wanted spiritual life. And so I found this community in Massachusetts with a guru and with practice and a spiritual community that was practicing. And so I left New York, where I was living at the time, and went to live in that community. So I left quite a few things behind. I left a city of great culture, and shows and museums and concerts. You know, at that time at least, there were all these free concerts at the park. We had Simon and Garfunkel and Crosby, Stills and Nash, and Michael Jackson and Diana Ross. You can tell it was quite a long time ago. But it was very simple and easy. I wasn't torn inside, oh, spiritual life or Michael Jackson. You know, it once the lighthouse, the Migdalot, was very clear, then everything else kind of fell by, fell to the side. And I left friends, sitting with friends at coffee houses, going to the movies. And I left a relationship that I was actually very happy in. And I remember when I was at the ashram, a few months, I was kind of missing that relationship, that connection I had, especially because at the ashram we were practicing celibacy, as Breshut Minit, So I started missing what I had. And the friends asked me, then why did I come to the ashram if I was in this loving relationship? And I remember this conversation because I was surprised by this question. And I said to her, I don't base my decisions on that. And so, what is it, what do we base our decisions on? Our choices. I'm not suggesting you should leave your relationships and go to a spiritual community, that I am in a relationship myself now. But it was what was important to me then. But I am suggesting and encouraging you to inquire and investigate and find out for yourselves what's most important to you in your life. What is the lighthouse by which to direct your choices? And let that lighthouse be, direct your choices and your decisions. Let your priorities and choices and decisions be guided by this lighthouse. And make it real in your life, not a concept, not something nice that we say to others or to ourselves. A painted lamp, a lamp painted on a paper, even if it's painted very well, will not be able to disperse the darkness. So perhaps what brought us to this retreat, to these conditions, to this experience of being out of control, is a very quiet whisper inside. Don't lose touch with this whisper. Most of the time our ears are trained to hear shouts, not whispers, and our eyes are trained to see faster, stronger, and bigger. Try to, one evening, try to rent a video from the 50s or the 60s. See if you can watch it. It is so slow. We are constantly training our minds to a faster pace, to more, to stronger stimuli, to stronger input, faster input. We are, the movies we used to watch when I was a girl, when I was little, you can't watch anymore. They're too slow. We are used to a commercial pace. Perhaps we need to drop in beyond the layers that sometimes are between that inner whisper and where we are. Sometimes we forget that whisper in the heart that brought us here. But perhaps in the silence of our retreat, we can listen. What is this whisper saying? Perhaps we need to peel some layers or let them go, like a snake letting go of its skin. And underneath the chatter of the mind, what's there? Under the noise, under the moving thoughts, the restless mind jumping like a monkey from this to that. Can we connect to a place that's beyond or beneath that, the mind and the thoughts? Can we drop in into perhaps an unfamiliar territory, perhaps an unknown place, where our usual strategies and familiar ways don't apply, and they can't shine light And we need a different and new source of light. Stephen Fulder, our dear teacher, senior teacher of Tovana, said once, every moment can be a prison or a temple. כל רגע יכול להיות בית כלא או בית מקדש. Every moment can be of contraction or of expansion, of התקבצות או התרחבות. What needs to happen for this moment to be a temple for us? How can we drop into this present moment more deeply, knowing this moment is all we have? What we seek cannot be found anywhere outside the present moment. Whatever we seek, inner quietness, or wisdom, or compassion and love, or freedom, whatever our lighthouse is, make it in the present, not something that you will do in the future, one day when the children grow, one day when it's in a pensia, one day when I have enough money, etc. Remember the Buddha's words, life is short. You should live as if your head is on fire. And the poet Kabir says it, puts it in poetic words. Instant of time, half of instant of time, half of instant of time is enough to free yourselves. Instant of time, half of instant of time, half of instant of time is enough to free yourself. Let's sit quietly together for a few moments. May all beings breathe as if it's their last moment. May all beings be healthy, happy and free.